It's been great. I got to yesterday. I was able to sit out and enjoy watching the leaves fall and watching everything work and gather and prepare for the winter to come. And you all know, if you've been here of any amount of time, you know this is one of my favorite times of year because I just get to see what. Well, there's other things I like about this year, but the big thing is I get to see what God does. I've always said that if you ever want to see God's creation in motion, go out on one of these heavy frost days, okay? And then you wait for the sun to come up over and start to thaw out the leaves. And then you start seeing all these critters emerge. And you just realize that God is in control of all that. He's the one that puts the sun out there, and that warmth begins to warm the forest floor, and all these little creatures come out that he's created, and that he has put there for you and I to see. And it's just something that we can always be thankful for as we worship God each and every day. Now, as I was thinking about this, we're going to be in Philippians chapter 1 today. But as I was thinking about this time of year, I began to think about all the different types of people that I see this time of year. One of my other favorite things is to sit and people watch. It's my favorite thing. One of my favorite things to do. It's the reason why, besides hanging out with an awesome crowd of gals, that I go Black Friday shopping with my wife, her mother, her aunt, and who else goes with us? Katie. I'm the line stander. So they're shopping, they're in the trenches, and I'm standing in line holding the spot that normally is back at the back of the store. And I love to people watch. So I begin to think about that. Think about all the different people that I've met over the years in ministry and whatnot. And I've kind of reduced this list down to, I'm going to add another one in there that I thought of, to six types of people. Now, you may or may not fit on this scale, but you might have a little bit of each. It's not a perfect scale because I made it. So you might be one of those people. This is the first one. You might be one of those people that this time of year, you have been playing Christmas music since the middle of October. Anybody in here want to admit to that this morning? Yeah, my wife. I knew that was coming. Now, I know there's some of you out here. There might be some of you that are those type of people that during this time of year, you like to enjoy just sitting on the couch, turning on the Hallmark station, the box of Kleenexes, and just crying and enjoying the love. I watched a movie last night, Big City Girl goes to a small town, has to deliver some Christmas letters. She ends up falling in love with the innkeeper.
I watched it this morning.
Yes. Yeah. I can kill deer, but I also like the Hallmark Channel. Then there's people, you've been preparing for Black Friday since last Black Friday. Matter of fact, you've been preparing for Black Friday like Rocky Balboa prepared and trained for Ivan Drago in Rocky IV. You're ready to go. You've got a plan. You've got an entrance. You've got an exit, and you're going for it. Okay? So that might be you. Then there's my favorite kind of people, the deer hunters, who are carefully preparing, legally, might I add, food plots for this coming deer season. And it's just around the corner, and you're prepared, you're ready to go, and you're looking forward to November 16th when opening season starts. And then there's the mother hen or father, that has been preparing and making meal preparations for the guests that she is going to have in her house this entire Christmas, Thanksgiving, Christmas season. And then the one that I thought of that I didn't add in here is the Clark Griswolds. The Clark Griswolds that are out there carefully laying out, or Tim the Toolman Taylor. If you ever watched Home Improvement, he had an episode where he massively decked out his house and blinded the entire neighborhood and buried the power meter when he turned on his lights. And so you might fall into one of those categories this morning, but understand this, folks, as we go through this year and we go through this season of holiday, again, I'm going to remind you to stop and smell the mums, okay? Because time passes like a vapor, okay? And so it's important that we enjoy the people around us, we enjoy the time we have together, and we fellowship because it's gone just like that. And so it's important that we remember to just take in those moments as we head out this year. But the important thing as we enter this time of year is that no matter where you land or don't land on this scale, is that you are thankful to the Lord for the people that he has placed around you and the situations he He's placed you in. That's the most important. I have a ton of fun this time of year. Shopping, hunting, all of it. I love it. But the biggest thing is that I can be thankful for the fact that the Lord has blessed me tremendously. He's blessed me in my personal life. He's blessed me in ministry. He's pulled me through some tough times. And I have all but the utmost respect and praise for Him for pulling me through. And see, here's the thing. We have a tendency, and we spoke about this last week, we have this tendency in this time of year to kind of get in that Eeyore mentality. We're pretty sure it's going to rain. The party's not going to be that great. Or whatever. But folks, we have that hope that should constantly bring us joy. A hope in a Savior who went to the cross for us, who died, and has completely changed our lives. He rose from the grave, He extinguished our sin, and He has paid for it full with His blood. And so we must always be thankful for the things that the Lord delivers to us. And the blessings that He gives us. In Philippians chapter 1, I want to talk a little bit this morning about Paul. And I love Paul, and you all know that because we've been through a lot of the stuff that he's written. But I want to share with you Philippians chapter 1, just part of it this morning. And I want you, as we go through this letter that he writes to the church of Philippi, I want you to understand his situation. I want you to understand his thankfulness that he has for those that he's served with and who he's serving. And the place that he's currently residing, which is prison, which is kind of hard to think about when you think about prison. But that's Paul. So in Philippians chapter 1:1-6, this is where we go. Paul and Timothy, bondservants of Christ Jesus, to all the saints in Christ Jesus who were in Philippi, including the overseers and the deacons, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God in all my remembrance of you, always offering prayer, prayer with joy in my every prayer for you all, in view of your participation in the gospel from the first day until now. For I am confident of this very thing, that he who began a good work in you will perfect it until the day of Christ Jesus. And I want to stop there and take a moment to look at those passages. In those first two passages, it's a common greeting that Paul has. But there's something that I want you to understand there in his greeting that he shares in verse 2 when he says, grace to you and peace from our God and Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. You have to understand something, that he puts grace first. Because true peace comes from understanding the grace that we have been given through Jesus Christ. And so he writes them and he says, grace and peace be with you. My brother, I've got one. Thank you. I'm going to try not to cough my lungs out up here, but I've got a weird head cold. But he writes grace and peace from God our Father, because we have to understand that grace before we can experience that true peace. And listen, that's what I'm talking about whenever I share with you this morning about taking time to smell the mums. That's going to be our theme. It's just going to be a thing we talk about this coming season. When we say stop and smell the mums, it means that we understand, we have that peace that comes with understanding the grace that Christ has given us. As we look to Philippians, Paul is writing, and to understand his situation, he is writing from prison. He is going to share with us in just a little bit about his current situation, which means that he is essentially on house arrest. He can have visitors and guests, but he is chained to one of the Praetorian guards, or the palace guards, the Roman soldiers, and he is with them all the time. Yet, when we read the rest of his letter, you're going to find this joy and peace that he has in this hard situation. You're never going to hear Paul say, man, this really just stinks. I don't want to be here. I wish you would send better candy, or I wish you would send more money for, whatever. He's constantly thankful. Thanking God for the people that God has placed in his life, and thanking him for the opportunity, that he has to share with the guards that are chained to him. Now that's something we need to take and think about. Because we have a real easy time sitting in our own, sulkiness. We like to sulk, our own misery. I don't know who said that, but thank you. And we like to just, no, I'll choke you more. I'll go as long as I can when my voice stops, then that's the end. But he is thankful for the situation and the time, the people that he's with in this situation. And he is writing and encouraging them. Understand, look at verses 3 through 6. He says, I thank my God in all of my remembrance of you, always offering prayer with joy in my prayer, in every prayer for you all, in view of your participation in the gospel from the first day until now. And I am confident of this very thing, that he who began a good work in you will perfect it until the day of Christ Jesus. Oh, if we could be that kind of encouraging to other people. That when we're in the deepest, darkest times of our lives, that we could write encouraging letters and notes to others to encourage them in Christ Jesus. And that's exactly what Paul is doing. He is reminding them that they serve a great God. That they, from the moment that they've accepted Christ, Paul has continued to pray for them. And even though he can't be with them, and commentaries say that it's been like 10 years since he's been able to visit them, he is praying for them earnestly. And you can, as we read the rest of this letter, you're going to see just how much love Paul has for those that have served him and those that he's had the opportunity to serve with. Now, it just happens to work in the sermon because God is good. But this morning, my pastor for 7 years, well, actually longer than 7 years, I worked with him for 7 years, is here this morning. And Pastor Chris, from the time that I was a youth to the time that I worked with him as the associate pastor, always gave me the opportunity to stand up and preach. He would share his pulpit with me. And I thank you for that, because he gave me that opportunity to preach. And so I'm thankful for him and his ministry and how he's encouraged me down the road. And I'm here where I'm at today because of great men who have spoken to my life and who have molded me into the man I am today and given me great wisdom in ministry. And that is exactly what Paul is writing about. Is be thankful for those that are around you. Be thankful for those that you got to hang with and to serve with. It continues on in verse 7. He says, for it is only right for me to feel this way about you all, because I have you in my heart. Since both in my imprisonment and in the defense and in defense and confirmation of the gospel, you all are partakers of grace with me. For God is my witness, how I long for you all with the affection of Christ Jesus. And this I pray, that your love may abound still more and more in real knowledge and all discernment, so that you may prove the things that are excellent, in order to be sincere and blameless until the day of Christ, having been filled with the fruit of righteousness, which comes through Jesus Christ, to the glory and praise of God. Paul is just being encouraging here. He is chained to a guard, and he is writing encouraging letters to them, reminding them of how great they have it and how they have been freed in Christ and given a great opportunity. And there at the end, I don't know if you noticed, but he briefly mentioned in the end there that he said, in verse 11, he says, having been filled with the fruit of righteousness, which comes through Christ Jesus. He briefly mentions that, and it makes reference to the fruit of the Spirit. Now, this is a good segue to remind you all that when you walked in the door today, there was some free fruit out there. Feel free to take all that fruit with you, because if we don't take it today, it's going to the dumpster. But, bring it back in, we're talking about the fruit of the Spirit. Paul is writing about the fruits of righteousness, which comes from the fruit of the Spirit, which is found in Galatians chapter 5, 22. It says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such thing there is no law. Now those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Verse 25, if we live by the Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit. Let us not become boastful, challenging one another, and envying one another. Paul makes reference to that in his letter to the Philippians. He's saying, listen, I am writing to you. I want you to know and I want you to understand that I love you guys. From the first day 10 years ago when I led you to Christ or when we started that church in Philippi, I have been praying for you. And even though my situation keeps me from being with you, understand that you never leave my heart. Understand that I'm constantly thinking about you. And he reminds them that as they continue to serve and continue to be ministers of the gospel, to have the fruits of righteousness right there. Because if you've truly experienced the grace of Jesus Christ, if you understand what it means to receive Jesus in your heart and life, and you've received him, and you've received the Holy Spirit, then you should be bearing these fruits. I'll remind you again, in Galatians chapter 5, it says, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. These are the things that come from a relationship with Jesus Christ. Because when we have Jesus Christ in our lives, we also have the Holy Spirit dwelling within us. And see, here's the great thing about the Holy Spirit. He begins to mold us and change us into who we are to be. You see, last week we talked about quenching the Spirit. Okay? That's when the Holy Spirit is calling you to do something. He is moving you in a direction, and you say, no, Lord, I know what I'm doing. Let me take the wheel. And we quench the Spirit. It's like throwing water on a hot fire. You have smoldering embers then. The Holy Spirit never leaves you, but you dampen down that voice. You dampen down that strong feeling within you to do these things because you constantly say no, and you quench the Spirit. We don't want to do that. So Paul reminds them that in everything they do, that they need to have the fruit of righteousness, which comes through Jesus Christ, to the glory and praise of God. He continues earlier in there, he reminds them that he's praying for them, that they would have real knowledge and all discernment, so that you may approve the things that are excellent in order to be sincere and blameless until the day of Christ. Folks, listen. I love this place, and I love you all. But we have to understand something. That we are not necessarily called to stay here forever. You see, you come here, you get involved in ministry, and then you are open to the call. The Lord might be calling you out somewhere else. You see, we get comfortable. And we become habitual in the things that we do. And we begin to quench the Spirit because we want to stay where God has us. Paul says, I'm praying that you have discernment and knowledge. And that you have the fruits of righteousness. It means that you're listening to the Holy Spirit. Folks, you have to understand, this is a great place to come and worship. But if God is calling us, we have to go. You see, Paul wanted to desperately to be there with the Philippians. For 10 years, he hasn't got to see them. And he's in prison, and he's chained to a Praetorian guard. Yet, he writes to them, and he encourages them, and he says, listen, I haven't forgot about you. I have prayed earnestly for you, and I hope that you're praying for me. Now, when you do research on Philippians, you find out that the church of Philippi really did some great ministry to Paul when he was in Rome. They sent people to see him. Epaphroditus was one of those who came and ministered to him. And so they loved him just as much as he loved them. But understand Paul's heart. As we think about Thanksgiving, is what we're talking about today. And thankful for the people that God has placed around us. Thankful for the gift of the Holy Spirit and Jesus on the cross that God has given us. And then Paul continues in verse 12. He says, now I want you to know, brethren, that my circumstances have turned out for the greater progress of the gospel. so that excuse me, so that my imprisonment in the cause of Christ has become well known throughout the whole Praetorian Guard and everyone else. And that most of the brethren, trusting in the Lord because of my imprisonment, have far more courage to speak the word of God without fear. And I'm just going to stop right there. This dude has been imprisoned and chained to guards the entire time. What did he say? The entire Praetorian Guard has heard the gospel of Jesus Christ. And those that have heard me through this situation, that me being in prison, and have heard the gospel and heard my testimony, have been encouraged to boldly speak the gospel wherever they go. And he is encouraging them that they have the same type of faith. He says, verse 15, he says, some, to be sure, are preaching Christ, even from envy and strife. You're like, what is he talking about? But some also from goodwill. The latter do it out of love, knowing that I am appointed for the defense of the gospel. The former proclaim Christ out of selfish ambition rather than from pure motives, thinking to cause me distress in my imprisonment. What then? Only that in every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is proclaimed, and this I rejoice. So for whatever reason, there's two groups here. There's the group that is preaching Christ out of goodwill, that they love Jesus, and they're just doing it because they want to spread the message of the gospel. But then there's this other group that's just doing it in spite of Paul. We're not really sure what that's all about. But they are preaching the gospel message, but they're doing it in spite of him. But he doesn't care. He doesn't get up in arms. He doesn't get out of whack. He says, hey, listen, the gospel is being presented. And I don't have to stand there and defend the gospel because the gospel stands alone. And the gospel is being presented. And so he praises this for what's going on. He says, listen, there are people that have heard the gospel who are doing it out of goodwill. There's those that are doing it just for envy and strife. But listen, out of all of this, my imprisonment and the stuff that I'm going through and all the stuff that I'm dealing with, the gospel is being presented. So I long to be with you. I long to see you and to talk with you and to be in your presence. But understand that in the situation that I am in, the gospel is being presented. Folks, in our lives, we're going to go through some ups and some downs and some in the middles. But we have to understand that in all of those situations, we need to make sure that the gospel is being presented. In our lowest days, we need to look up to the Lord and thank him for the things that he has given us. Thank him for the opportunities that he presents to us to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. We have that hope that nobody can take away from us. And we need to be joyful in doing that, in sharing that. And I bring all this up in this time of year because we're entering into that Thanksgiving season. And we're going to be talking about thankfulness. And then right after we get past thankfulness, thanks and giving, we're going to be talking about giving. Because it comes that Christmas time of year where we ask you all to be generous, to give to these different offerings that go to help missionaries. We ask you to give towards Angel Tree gifts that go to help people in our community to have a Christmas. We ask all these things, and I realize that sometimes that might be overwhelming. That's why I'm telling you to stop and smell the mumps. Because this holiday rush happens so fast that if we get sucked into it and we just throw our hands up and start screaming, we miss the blessings along the way. Paul was in prison, for Pete's sake. And he was thankful for what God had done and what God is doing through him there in that prison. Can you get my message? We are going to go through a very joyful time in our lives in the next couple months, hopefully. I hope that you have a joyful time. But I want you to remember to be thankful. And I want you to be giving. God gives us everything that we have. And so we must give generously back. Because without him, we wouldn't have it. And so, as we enter into this season, just remember Paul's words to the Philippians. Remember how he is encouraging them to act. And remember that we must act the same way as we go through this season, as we go through the rest of our lives, the ups and downs and in the middles, that we are thankful for what God has done in our lives and what He will continue to do in our lives. Let me finish up the chapter for you. And of course, I've changed the page. Philippians chapter 1, finishing from 15 or 16 and forward. Actually, 17. Nope, 18. Nope, 19. Thank you. My eyes also are watery with this, so I can't read. Yes, and I will rejoice, for I know that this will turn out for my deliverance through your prayers and the provision of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, according to my earnest expectation and hope that I will not be put to shame in anything, but that with all boldness, Christ will even now, as always, be exalted in my body, whether my life or by death. Man, and next week we're going to pick up on that passage and he really starts to hit hard. But that needs to be our prayer. Do you understand what he says there in verse 20? According to my earnest expectation and hope, that I will not be put to shame in anything, but that with all boldness, Christ will even now, as always, be exalted in my body, whether by life or by death. Folks, listen. Again, we're going to go through this crazy season in our lives that is great and full of joy, and we can get distracted by every other thing. But understand what Paul is saying here, that we need to not be put to shame by anything, that we should with all boldness speak Christ and share with others, and that in everything, Christ would be exalted in our bodies, in our life, and in our death. Whether we live or die, which is next week's sermon, we will praise the Lord. We will give Him glory. Because whether we're alive or dead, if we're here on this earth, we have the opportunity to share the gospel with all those we come in contact with. If we're dead, we're in the presence of our Lord, as long as we've accepted Jesus as our Lord and Savior. That's a joyful message. That is a message of thanksgiving, that we are thankful for what God has done. Look at what Paul says in 19. Yes, and I will rejoice. The man is chained to a guard. And he says, yes, I will rejoice. For I know that this will turn out for my deliverance through your prayers and provision of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, according to my earnest expectations and hope that I will not be put to shame in anything, but that in with all boldness, Christ will even now, as always, be exalted in my body, whether by life or by death. You see, Paul didn't know how his life was going to turn out. He didn't know if he was going to live or die, but he trusted that whatever he was doing, that he was going to glorify God either while he was here on this earth or until the bitter end. He was going to go out praising his Lord, and he was not going to be Eeyore, chained to a guard, and go, oh, woe is me, my life is terrible, my life is hard. No, Paul knew that in Acts chapter 8, when he was persecuting the church and killing Christians, that in Acts chapter 9, when Jesus Christ came down and confronted him and he had that conversion experience, his life was forever changed. God said that you're going to be my tool. You're going to be my tool to advance the gospel to the Gentiles. And that's exactly what Paul does. He doesn't get down. He doesn't get discouraged. He gets snake bit, shipwrecked, and winds up in prison. But the guy writes encouraging letters to other churches saying, keep the faith, brother, because I am as well. And I pray for boldness and courage. Folks, understand that this life brings highs and lows. And we're entering into a season of highs, but when January comes and that snow is still on the rooftop and you're just wanting to get outside and smell the roses because the moms are dead. We have joy. We look out at that barren landscape with no leaves and no color, and we realize that winter represents death. But that's also something that we can look forward to. Not death, but that after death comes life. You see, the four seasons are a life cycle. And it goes right along with the gospel. That's another sermon. But after death comes life. And folks, as we live this life, as we go through this time, be excited. Look for those opportunities. When you're out there, Black Friday, elbow to elbow, hopefully not, you know, do anything that brings you shame. Look for those opportunities to be a witness. You know what? Maybe it's just getting a cart for somebody. Because on Black Friday, carts are like gold. Okay? Just be nice. And people will notice a difference in you. And when they take notice of that difference, and you have that opportunity to share the gospel of Jesus Christ, why am I different? This is why. I guarantee you that Paul, as he was chained to that Praetorian guard, was nice the entire time. You know why? Because he had a mission. His mission was for every one of those men to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. And it's hard to share the gospel when you're a curmudgeon. But grump. So have joy, folks. We have that boldness of Jesus Christ dwelling within us, hopefully. We should live it each and every day. And listen, if you're here this morning and you don't know who Jesus Christ is, I'm going to take a real brief moment and share with you who he is. We're going to enter into this season. And we believe that Jesus came many, many years ago, 2,000 years ago, that he came to this earth as a baby. He stepped out of his kingdom into darkness. He is the light. John chapter 1, read that. Okay? John chapter 1 talks about Jesus being the light and stepping into this world, becoming flesh. He stepped down into this world as a baby. He lived a perfect life on this earth for 33 years. He met about 12 knuckleheads that he really harnessed and focused and trained them into the disciples that we know, found in Acts chapter 1 and chapter 2. And then he ascended into heaven in Acts chapter 1. And then the disciples went out into the world and they began to preach the gospel. And here we have the church as we know it. But as Jesus lived that perfect life on this earth, he went to the cross. And he died on that cross for your sins and my sins. That's right, your sins and my sins. And even the sins that we haven't even committed yet, he took all of that and paid the price because he's an all-knowing God. And he took all of that sin upon himself and his blood extinguished it all. He paid the price and he offers you a gift, a free gift. No fine print at the bottom, no circumstances. Just simply trust in me and you'll have eternal life. Romans 10:9 tells us that we believe in our hearts and confess with our lips that Jesus is Lord, we shall be saved. I believe that with all my heart. It's what I did, and it's what I encourage you to do. But understand this, that when we accept Jesus Christ in our heart and life, he begins to change who we are. Because not only do we get Jesus, we get the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is the one that begins to change us and mold us into the men and women that we're supposed to be. It is in direct conflict with what we are wants and our wills. Because his way and his will is the right way, and ours is pretty screwed up. But if we accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, he begins to mold us into who he wants us to be and change our lives for the good. And then in return, for that free gift that he offers us, because with that free gift comes eternal life, that hope, that peace. That's what we have. With that comes this. It's not a circumstance, it's just a result. That because you have him dwelling within you, because he's changing your life, that you're not quiet about it. That you don't sit on your hands and wait for him to come back one day, which in Acts chapter 2, that's what the angel tells the disciples. Why are you looking up still? Because the man who, Jesus Christ, who you just saw going to heaven, is going to come back in the very same way. So why are you standing around? Get to work. Jesus is coming back, folks. If you believe that I believe what I believe, that means that while we're here on this earth, that we're to be working and telling all those about him. Why? Not because it's required of us, but because it's a result of having Christ within us. We can't shut up about it. Yeah. I guarantee you that when deer season comes, and it's already happened in new season, that on Facebook, you're going to post a picture of that big, beautiful buck that you shot. And you're not going to shut up about it till next year. Folks, Christ is way better than a buck.
Amen.
He is the guy that created the buck. He is the guy that set all that into motion. And so we should not shut up about the fact that we have Jesus in our lives. We should be joyful, excited about what he is doing. And so I encourage you this morning, if you don't know who Jesus is, that in a moment as the band comes and we play and we sing about this Jesus, that you would accept him as your Lord and Savior. You don't have to do it here. You don't have to do it right now, but I encourage you to. You can do it anywhere because that's the gift. That is accepting that free gift. It's between you and him. There's no prayer I can pray over you. There's no hand motion that I can do or handshake that I can teach you to get you into heaven. It's simply a relationship between him and you.
Yeah.
And you have to do it on your own. But I can help you get there. So if that's something you're thinking about this morning, I pray that you would. We're going to have time limitation, and I'll be right here in the front. And I'm here for one reason alone. I'm here to pray for you, and I'm here to encourage you in making that decision. And maybe you're struggling this morning, and I'm here to pray for you as well. And I love you, and I want you to make that journey as awesome as it can be in Christ. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the many blessings you give us. We thank you for the time we've had this morning, Lord, to open your word, to study what Paul has written, Father, his experiences, and the boldness that he has to go out and share the gospel. Father, I pray that we would be that bold. Lord, that we would be on mission for you each and every day, that we would not forget about what you've done for us on the cross, and that we would never get over it, Father. Lord, that we would continue to trust in you, continue to live for you, Father, and in everything that we do, Father, we would always point it back to you. The blessings that you give us, the things that we do, the places that we're at, Father, it's all because of you and what you've done in our lives. Help us to be like Paul. Help us to be better than Paul, Father. Help us to strive to be more and more like you. We love you, Lord. We ask this all in your name. Amen. I'll be here in the front as we sing. Let's stand.